Hi, I'm Michelle Todd Schorsch, and I am thrilled to welcome you to the inaugural episode of my new podcast. It's called Hallmark for the Holidays, and today joining me is my He Said, She Said co-host, my beloved husband.
Peter Schorsch.
Now, honey, do you think that I'm only doing this podcast because I love Hallmark Christmas movies, or do you think it's because I want to force you to watch Hallmark Christmas movies with me more?
Both.
Yeah, that's probably the truth. So if this podcast, the goal is to break down all of the new Hallmark Christmas movies because it is the 10th anniversary of Hallmark's Countdown to Christmas. They are, I think, putting out 40 new movies this Christmas season, and we are going to break them down for you and have fun with all things Hallmark. What do you think, babe?
I think this is a great idea for a standalone podcast, which I really is something that I've wanted to help you get off the ground. Like, I do look at it from my angle as, like, we're building a stable of podcasts, like, of really cool, like, He Said, She Said. We've got Sunrise, our other political podcast, and this one. I think we're building a nice little, like, people will know to, like, that we're producing good content for them all the time. We'll have some other ones coming forward, I'm sure, next year.
So our first movie, and our first movie that we watched together was the second premiere of the season. Hallmark this year started their movies earlier than ever. They started them October 25th. This is the movie that premiered on October 26th. It's called Christmas Wishes and Mistletoe Kisses. And it stars Jill Wagner, who is actually one of my favorite Hallmark stars. You will see her in a lot of movies. I'm actually a little bit surprised that they put her in an October movie versus a December movie. You'll see as you go through the season, the bigger movies, for the movies that Hallmark thinks are the best, are the ones that end up airing in December. October is kind of a little bit Christmas light, and it works its way up. Wouldn't you agree?
All right, so I'm not sure of my role here other than to, like, ask you questions, because I will say it was interesting to see her because she's one of those people. She's not Lacey, but she does a lot of the promotions. Like, I'll hear her on the radio station.
Yes.
And so I figured, like, I don't know Hallmark movies as well as you do. I enjoy them, but I don't know it as well as you do. But they kept introing her on the Hallmark holiday music channel. So I figured she was a bigger star.
Well, she is on Hallmark channel. She does a lot of their movies.
Okay.
But just so you know, what happens on the Hallmark radio channel, it actually coincides with the television channel. Whatever stars that week have the new movies premiering, they all get to air their own Christmas playlist. It's part of the cross promotion that they do.
Okay.
See? So that would be why you've heard her. So the other star is Matthew Davis. I do not love him because for me, he will forever be Warner Huntington III from Legally Blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I like him then?
No, I knew because I went and looked at his IMDb to see where this guy had come from. And I saw him first starring in Legally Blonde. You're such a...
I mean, he dumped my girl Reese.
I know. I saw that and I was like, I don't even know how we got through this podcast watch or through this showing of him. Plus, he was on Vampire Diaries, wasn't he? Which is also...
Oh, he was, I think. Maybe.
But that was it. He was. He was on Vampire Diaries, and that was a big show for you, right?
It was a show I watched, yes. I like vampire shows.
Right.
Right.
It was a big show. Like, before there was streaming, that was a show that you would watch.
Yes, it is a show that I would watch. It, like, filled the gaps.
Right. And it was, like, you and I were still figuring out about each other and, like, who our particular
and you,
TV
shows.
And you
were
shows.
Horrified by how much CW television I used
and
to watch.
And I didn't know what the hell you were watching. I'm like, it's Thursday at 8. Why are we watching a vampire show on this kids' station?
And because you're like, I like kids' stations.
Yep.
Sorry.
So that's who I...
And then for our parents, Donna Mills is one of the other stars, and she's from Knott's Landing. I had to look that up because they kept promoting her like she was a big deal. I'm like, I have no idea who that is.
And there is also, who is the third, who's the third lead, the other woman? Do we know who that is?
So, no.
Okay, because she's also...
The only stars are the ones, or those three that are listed as the stars.
Okay, his assistant was who? Okay, I think she had some work. She had done some good work.
Yeah, but she just... didn't get star billing.
It's kind of interesting when you go into IMDb and you look at...
And you, like dive down?
Well, like, you know, like, if you look at, like Jill's career, she's... Like, you forget how much these folks are working
yeah.
on, like... They'll have 100 appearances on a show that ran over like 6 or 7 years. I mean, these are working actors making these are this isn't like they're getting $25 million for a one-off movie. These are people that are going in and they're honing their craft. They're working, you know, and I was kind of fascinated by the business side of it and how extensive both of these actors' careers were.
Right. That they've without been around. Being like giant, huge names.
Right.
But I also wonder how much they make for each Hallmark movie. Because Jill does it. I would say Jill does 6 a year for Hallmark. And I just don't know how much they make for that. That's all. It would be interesting to see.
There's so much money in TV right now that I don't know. I wouldn't know either. I would say, I'm going to say high 6 figures per, maybe something like that.
Yeah. I was listening to an interview with the head of programming and the president of the network for Hallmark the other day, and they were saying they actually don't have that hard of a time getting actors to sign on for these movies.
Sure.
Because the Christmas movies are the number one rated movie of the night that they premiere. So, I mean, it's not compared to television shows, but, you know, that's a good thing for those actors.
Well, and you bring that up, and it's kind of... this is kind of different than where all of the other TV is going, where like Netflix is basically the curator of other people's productions. I mean, yes, they're producing their own, but in a lot of cases, they're not even producing their own. They're just putting the Netflix brand on a BBC show. This is like a kind of like a throwback to the old studio system where you have like a Jill Wagner. Maybe she's under contract for a year's worth of work for $6.5 million or whatever, and that involves all of the appearances, the you know, the radio promotions and things like that there's some there's some people that are like studio players.
Because I have to believe that some of them are. Like I have to believe like the Candace Cameron Bure, because she really is like one of the faces of the network, is under contract. And I have to believe that Lacey is and Danica McKellar. Like those are the big, big stars.
And what you'd want with that is a huge non-compete. Like there would be nothing that Lifetime or Netflix would want more than to land.
But there are some actors who do bounce back and forth.
Okay.
There are some, but it's not the big ones ever. But Hillary Burton, who was on One Tree Hill, another CW show I watched that you were horrified by, I'm sure. She will go back and forth. This year she's doing a Lifetime movie. Last year she did a Hallmark movie, and she kind of flip flops back and forth every year. So.
Am I allowed to talk about another point that you made?
Yeah, like go ahead.
I did notice the distinct theme, and I want, maybe you can bring this up as you're talking about it. Like, the Christmas meter is not turned all the way to Santa red yet. Like, this is definitely we're gonna walk slowly into the holiday season.
Well, I had to explain that to you. We were watching it, and you're like, where's the Christmas magic? Right. And I was like, honey, they're not gonna hit you over the head with Santa Claus yet, because it's October 25th. Halloween hasn't even happened. They are aware of when this film is airing. It's just to bring you a little bit of Christmas joy as we are gearing up for the season.
It's literally a movie about decorating for Christmas as opposed to you getting like dropped in. Like some Hallmark movies, you'll get dropped into the middle of Santa's village.
Right. That's true.
This was non-Christmas into Christmas. And so...
Well, why don't you read the synopsis of the movie for our listeners so they know what happens,
all right,
what Christmas Wishes and Mistletoe Kisses is about.
The movie centers around Abby, a single mom who takes a risk in following her true passion of interior designing. She is hired by a local businessman, Nick, to decorate his estate by Christmas Eve. With the deadline in sight, Abby must navigate her working relationship with Nick in hopes that this is just the start of a successful new career. The movie also stars Donna Mills as Nick's mother, Caroline. And so what were your first impressions of the movie then?
My first impressions of the movie were great. Another interior decorator, wannabe interior decorator, decorating a house for a wealthy businessman for Christmas and with a meddling mother and hoping that they fall in love.
Is that a familiar trope on...
It is a familiar trope. I think Ella and I watched two other Hallmark Christmas movies this weekend. Old ones, not new ones, that were the same.
Well,
storyline.
I don't want to hide you. But so this is important probably to say at the onset of the launch of this podcast. You're going to be both laudatory, but you're going to have your critical moments as well. So whereas I think some other podcasts are, you know, sugar plum nice all the time, you are going to point out where you think that maybe something is a little too trite, or if, you know, something is lacking in the execution, or if there are just fun old, you know, plain old glitches, like, you know, continuation issues and things like that, which I think is different than, so if you're searching for podcasts and you come to this, there might be a little spice with it as much as there is sugar.
Yeah. And some movies more than others, you know, some movies more than others lend themselves to being poked fun at. Like, I know there's a Kelly Pickler movie again this holiday season, and that she is such a terrible actress that I'm just not, there's just no way that I'm not going to make fun of that movie.
Can you also go back and tell me, because this is important for me.
Yeah.
The difference. And I know you explained this to me, but
sure. So between Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries?
Yeah, like I love, I need
those.
We'll
cover both because it's all the same network. Hallmark Movies and Mysteries is where the more magical movies will happen.
Okay, which is what I like.
Yes, that is what you like.
The uncle that just came into town may be Santa Claus and we just don't know it. Or
yes, and there is one that I need you to watch because, and it is an early one, but there Santa Claus, there is a character named Christopher.
Okay, got it.
Who is absolutely the real Santa Claus. And so there's a little bit of Christmas magic, which is always what is nice, is to have a little bit of Christmas magic. You prefer that the Hallmark Channel ones are more straightforward love stories.
They're much more rom-com without the too much com.
Yeah, and so Hallmark Channel movies are called Countdown to Christmas, and then Hallmark Movies and Mystery Movies are called The Miracles of Christmas. So, like, there will
be... So, next week, we're launching my podcast, The Miracles of Christmas, and I talk only about the Hallmark movies where there is Santa or elves or, you know...
And you're going to start with Kathy Lee Gifford's God Wink Christmas?
Is that one that I...
That's one that's absolutely going to be airing this year. Yes.
All right, I love... Okay. So, that...
So, what was your first impression of the movie?
Well, I'm thinking about...
Because you don't love Hallmark movies. You watch them because you humor Ella and I. It's a way to get Ella to, like, sit down with us and relax, but not make us watch The Descendants.
All right, so that synopsis is not enough accurate because, like, to say he's a local businessman, he's made out to be a billionaire in
right.
this, and which is one thing. My first impression, so I didn't know who Jill Wagner is. I thought she was very attractive for the role. Like,
yes.
Like, she was maybe, like, too sultry for... the usual Hallmark movie. I thought that was something that I thought was...
That is interesting. Wow, I don't know that I've ever heard Jill Wagner described as sultry. She's beautiful, don't get me wrong.
I thought she looked like... She almost reminds me of like a very young Kirstie Alley.
Right.
Like where she's... She was this was not just the vacuous marketing executive that they were putting... There was definitely a star quality to her
right.
that overpowers... the entire movie. I will say that. Number two, she's going to decorate the estate. And this is like, I guess some of the stuff gets, you know, trite or whatever. It wasn't that big of a house. Like,
I mean, they kept calling it a mansion and it wasn't. I mean,
especially for Northern.
They only showed a couple of rooms.
Right.
So I just and she would be in the attic. And she'd be like, oh, stop making that much noise up here because they're working. I'm like, well, what type of mansion is this? If they're working on the first floor, and by the way, they're working like in the salon as soon as you walked into the house. Like, why would that be the office you set up in your estate? The first, it should be a center showpiece room. And if it's that big of a house, why are you worried about noise in the attic? Because I can't hear anything that Ella's doing on the third floor when I'm on the first floor of our house.
I'm estimating that house at maybe 5,000 square feet. Like, tops, like
right.
entrance, like you're walking into the entrance into the end or the foyer and the stairs are right there. It's door opens, step stairs.
Yeah, I mean, we have had houses with more grand entrances in the south side.
So like the whole setup, like that this was going to be a challenge, but then I juxtapose that with this guy is running $1 billion+
business
operation out of the dining room in the salon, and I'm like, he neither has it, the math. The real estate math for me did not add up.
Well, they were moving. Remember, they were making it home base. I assume that maybe there was a headquarters somewhere, or maybe all billionaires run their empires from an extra room in their house. I don't know.
It didn't sound like this was like a startup. Like he was just like,
no, it wasn't a startup.
Right, he's a producing.
No, but he was having to come back. But like the estate was in the family.
Right.
He was having to come back to like the family's hometown for some reason. I don't know why.
that is going to be a theme for me, and I probably need to go back through it, is the fake businesses that they attach to these, because they're all like, you know, Franklin Enterprises.
You should start. Yeah,
that'll be a category. And that's what's great about this podcast. Another point we want to make, different from our other podcasts, it's going to be category driven. It's going to be shorter. And
except for this first one might be a little longer because we're kind of giving you guys a taste.
But we're also probably going to develop.
And we're also getting our feet and figuring it out.
We'll probably develop our categories. And so I need to add that as a category for you is, you know, is the fake business of the love interest, whether it be male or female, right, is it believable?
Right.
Because sometimes you'll have the dude, he'll own a garage, he'll be a woodworker, and yet he'll be fabulously wealthy. Like, he will have a 40-acre estate in New Hampshire, and you're like, wasn't dude just like the tow truck driver in earlier scenes? And so, like, the economics, that's the kind of thing that just throws the world building for me is what.
The world building is always a little interesting. I will say that in this movie, at least, it doesn't fall into one of the traps that always drives me crazy in Hallmark movies where, like, yes, it's the billionaire and she falls in love with him, but she's starting her own business. A lot of the times it's the trope of the woman is on vacation and falls in love with a billionaire and then has to give up her life and move and go be with him, and he's going to support her. And it drives me a little crazy. So I'm glad that in this movie, at least, they're not falling into that trap.
I don't know. I don't know if this falls under first impressions because it's not really in the synopsis. The third person in this movie, other than the billionaire's aide,
Dr. Michael.
Well, there's also Dr. It's the dad.
Yeah, the dad was really a great character.
The dad was a great character. He was, like, very authentic. We got to find out which actor he is, because he was authentic. I loved how he was always impeccably dressed no matter what time of day it was. Like, he was never like this dad just like kind of sloughing off, just like, yeah, I'm at the house just hanging out watching football. Like, he was always like in amazing khaki pants and a dress shirt.
And what was his coffee shop name? Wasn't it like the Filler Up or something? It was just some absurd punny name.
But he was running a coffee shop, which is going to be long hours
out of his house. And
he always had great advice. And I really like that actor. I don't know who he was, but he was very central to this because he was the character who she was sounding off to all the time. She was, you know, doing all the exposition to him, and then she would, you know.
I just have to think, like, maybe the set decorating budget wasn't that big for this movie. Like, that's why the house was kind of small and they only showed a couple of rooms that she had to decorate the estate. And maybe that's why the coffee shop was part of the house he lived in.
There wasn't a lot of on-location,
even
was there?
The sign for the Filler Up, it just was like
a sign,
a white sign, yeah, with black letters,
yeah,
that right, I could have made on my Cricut machine. So, well, that was one thing that stuck out to me about this movie, was that the set decorating budget must not have been that high. And that's actually something which is kind of funny. Ever since Ella and I were extras in a Hallmark movie, I always really noticed the set decorating because I talked to the set decorator a lot that day. And I was struck in person by how small the big set was, you know, the big event that we were on. And so I always now look at to see things that are repeated, reused, moved around.
Oh,
to
really?
To make an event look larger and better. And it always catches me. So it's kind of.
Can you imagine what
like for Hollywood stars to watch movies?
No, I was going the opposite way. This is all in one big studio soundstage somewhere, like all right, of this stuff. And so think about how cool it must be to walk through the Hallmark Channel's production set with, you know, they probably have like four aisles of, we've got green garland, big garland, little garland, lit garland, et cetera. And somebody's got to be the property manager of all of that. And
one of my favorite things is to like count how many times you see the same Christmas tree over and over in a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Right.
Because, like, it'll be the Christmas tree at the estate, and then it'll be the Christmas tree at the coffee shop,
right,
and then it'll be the Christmas tree at the town tree lighting. It's the same exact tree, the same decorations over and over again.
I have another idea. Why is Hallmark not... All right, so we've talked about, like, we'll see stuff and we'll know that it's from Balsam Hill or Grandin Road or one of the other companies that, like, the catalog companies that send out stuff. Why is there not a line at Target right now?
Of just Hallmark.
The Hallmark holiday... You saw it on TV, literally. Oh, I want that wreath.
Well, last year they partnered with Balsam Hill, and that's how I kind of found some of the stuff I got.
But I could see it in, I mean,
right,
you know, in a store, you know, just like as seen on TV, Jill Wagner's throw rug.
Well, this year, Hallmark did release for the first time their own line of like Hallmark Christmas movie watching shirts and blankets and coffee mugs and stuff, because there was such a huge business on Etsy and other online vendors of people making and selling the stuff, and Hallmark has been cracking down on those people.
Oh, okay.
So now they basically are they released their online and are selling it. So they're getting there.
I did like your first point, though, before you go to the next category. This was definitely a post Me Too setup.
Yeah.
She asserts herself. She doesn't take any crap when she's getting bantered or when she's getting pushed back at. And so this is not damsel in distress.
No.
And so I did like that setup.
This is a woman who took a pause in her career to raise her son and is now trying to restart her career.
And is she a widower?
Maybe. Yes, I think so.
I think that honestly, like that.
There's always a dead family member in all the Hallmark movies.
You have to kind of establish that as a category, which is like, who is the
family
member?
Who's the dead family member?
Yeah, it's
that's
like.
That's probably true.
It is somebody, because that is, you know, Hallmark is making the conscious decision. God bless them. They're not going to have the divorce people on here. I don't think there's no messy divorces in the Hallmark holiday world.
No,
it's all about
Hallmark is all about wholesome family.
Right. And
so,
listen,
it's nice to have that place to come home to.
And it's nice, you know, with everything in the world going right now, we've talked about this. We love just, you know, being able to turn on the TV. Like Hallmark Channel is running in our house all the time, whereas we used to have the news on.
Right.
You can't have that anymore.
I can't have that anymore, but I can have Hallmark Channel on, and I don't have to answer questions I don't want to answer. There's not sex.
Right.
There's not piercings. There's not tattoos. There's not multicolored hair. I only know, like, all the breakdowns.
There's all that stuff on The Descendants, so.
Right. There's not tattoos, and there's not piercings on The Descendants.
There's not piercings?
I don't think so.
There's multicolored hair.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
there is.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Right. Again, I don't really love The Descendants, Varela. I don't like this phase that we're in that much, but Hallmark does have their clean-cut requirements contract is pretty interesting. Again, when we were doing wardrobe, one of the dresses I brought, they were like, yep, that's a little bit, that's too risque for Hallmark. It had the shoulders
right
exposed. There was no breast or anything, but it was too risque. So it's kind of interesting. So one of the things that is always something that you're looking for in a Hallmark movie, or really any rom-com, and most of these are romantic movies, is what's the meet cute? How do our characters meet each other?
Okay.
So do you remember how the characters meet, or do you need me to remind you?
Well, the mom intercedes here, right? Isn't that what, like...
Well, no, the first time they meet is he literally runs her over in the middle of town square out of a coffee shop.
Right, yes.
And it's not like a small, like he bumped into her. It's like he almost like football tackles her. He knocks her hard. And she is on her way to the Christmas tree lighting. And he's really annoyed that the town is having a big event just to celebrate plugging in a tree.
Right. Yes, I remember that.
He has like a cringeworthy line about, well, business in Hong Kong never stops. So I can't waste my time with a Christmas tree light.
Bad Hong Kong reference right now.
It was a bad reference.
Bad Hong Kong reference. Whoever the writer on that one.
It was definitely it was written probably before the Hong Kong issue started. So there's that. And then the dilemma in this movie is, will she get this job to be able to start a career? And if she does get it, she's got to decorate this estate in 4 weeks. In time for the big fundraising gala on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it was.
No, you don't remember it.
Oh, no, I remember the dilemma.
It's not a big one.
It doesn't seem like it, you know, it didn't seem like that big of a dilemma, especially because
it wasn't
money,
that big of a house.
Well, money
is a billionaire.
And money doesn't seem to be an object here. Like, nobody is like, all right, we're going to do this on a $5,000 budget. We need you to, it's just like.
Well, then here's like the other part. For a big billionaire's company, the person doing the interview is himself and his SVP, his senior vice president, who they never call. They always just call her an SVP, Kate, who's clearly being set up to be the villain. And she's just too busy to have time and wants to dismiss Abby offhand. And Abby does not think she's going to get the job. So she kind of lays into Nick about not even giving her a chance and wasting her time.
It is interesting how they set her up to be the villain. The SVP is to be the villain. The dark hair, dark makeup, dark wardrobe, and it's like they, I guess that's going to be the conflict throughout this one.
The blonde versus the brunette.
The blonde versus the brunette. But again, if you're just throwing money at an object, which is basically what the situation here is, I didn't see this as a huge dilemma. This did not seem like
it wasn't.
We have to. It was not an existential crisis, as I'm looking at one of the future ones. We're watching that right now. It's not like the future of a company is online. It's a personal struggle of a woman who of a single mom and whether or not she can balance, you know, the needs. I saw more. I was worried about that more. But then if she's got that great dad at home, you know, that's hanging out again, you know, she's not working 18 hours at the Waffle House this Christmas. I mean, she's working from home with an unlimited budget.
But let's also not forget, though, aside from decorating the house, Nick then ropes Abby into helping to decorate and plan the gala for him. So she's now got to decorate his house and decorate and plan the gala.
Which is where you got to draw the line. Like, you're just like, come on, the gala, that's almost too big of an event. Like, you know, like.
Well, it's in the house.
Yeah, but if you're. Are we allowed to talk about the great character that they bring in to?
Absolutely.
I love that guy. Like, so clearly that's another like awesome trope of television, whether it be like we even saw it on The West Wing. You bring in the fuddy-duddy guy who speaks British, who has an English accent, and instantly he is taken as an expert on class and decorating. And so I do enjoy the introduction of that character, because he comes in as kind of comic relief. And when he, you know, they're laying out the gala and everything like that. And of course he loves her ideas and everything like that. And so I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, this is about a 4 or 5 in terms of degree of difficulty, even with the gala added on.
Well, you've forgotten, though, there's also the annual Christmas play in town that Abby's son is in. And so she can't miss his rehearsals, and she is helping making decorations for it. I mean, she's a very busy woman, babe.
She is. It is.
These town Christmas plays, they don't just put on themselves.
It's a tale of a modern woman.
It is. It is. So, as always, there are a lot of cringeworthy moments in Hallmark movies. Do you have any cringeworthy moments that are standing out for you?
Yes. There is a scene where there is a double date with Abby and the billionaire, who we just keep referring to him as the billionaire.
Well, no, Abby is on a date with Dr. Mike, which is one of the residents at the nursing home that Abby volunteers at.
Well, and back it up. Like, her dad tells her to, like, that it's time to get back out there.
Yes. So she is trying to date.
And she does get right back out there. Like, and she goes up to the doctor and says, hey, why don't we go, like, do you still eat? I think is what she says.
Well, that's because he had previously asked her if she wanted to grab a bite to eat, and she had said that she wasn't ready. And so then, like, a day later, because her dad tells her to, she goes back and asks him if he still eats.
And so then there's basically a double date, and it kind of reminded me of the scene from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where Kristen Bell and her boyfriend run into Peter Seagal. And it's just always, whenever you have like a, you know, hijinks ensue, basically, whenever you have like an awkward double date. But at the beginning of that, you know that there's going to be a romantic interlude that somehow has to be resolved as well. So the draw, you know, part of it is, if it's just a story about decorating an estate, well, that's a trip to IKEA or whatever. Like, we have to
except
keep
except for in this movie, where did she take the very busy billionaire who took a couple hours off very unexpectedly to go help her go shopping for furniture?
That was all right. So I'm sorry. That was a weird.
I mean, it was the worst. I mean, basically, she took him to a flea market. It was an antique store, but it felt more like a flea market, what was in there.
And it really, like, there was.
And they weren't really looking at furniture. Like, there was this whole plot line about this teacup, and I like to think about all the people who made memories sipping cocoa with it. And I'm just like, it's a really hideous teacup, coffee cup with a Christmas tree painted on the side.
No, that was.
It felt like it was more just a vehicle for them both to talk about. It just felt like a date.
Like, well, and that's
and,
where
and it's not what it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be a client, right? But
it was another set piece that I felt like
fell a little flat.
We're running our budget is light here, and so that was kind of.
Let's also be honest here. She's not a very good interior decorator. I mean, the dining room table she picks out.
Let's go back. All right,
the dining room table she picks out seats 6 people.
Yes. Okay. That was. I thought all of her, I mean, not to get to the grand reveal of, you know, this edition of Home Makeover, but she picked out, like this is a 30-something-year-old guy, and you made everything look like it was, like, from the Victorian age. Not Victorian age. It just seemed very dated.
Well, because, again, she took him shopping at a flea market.
Yeah. It did not seem like great choices that she made as an interior decorator. It did not seem very modern at all.
No, it really didn't. It was a little bit. It was really cringeworthy. I could not get past it.
Yep.
It was hard for, quite honestly, it was just hard for me to buy into the, like, everybody was wanting their business cards and her business is going to blow up because of this house she decorated. I just, you know, that we could just maybe be honest. It would have been maybe a more fun movie if she was a bad interior decorator and
like if she couldn't do her job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What about, do you remember the Santa Claus?
Okay. So that was if I had a low light for this entire.
Yeah. Well, we're in cringeworthy moments. All right. So this is definitely cringeworthy.
Like Santa didn't look like Santa at all. Santa's face was just like
Ella said he looked like a mouse dressed up as Santa. Where was Santa at?
Like Santa was like in a parking lot or something.
It was just
the production value, the set pieces were just.
Again, they spend less money on the October movies.
And so, yeah, Santa didn't even have like a beard. Like he had like a beard, but it wasn't like a full beard. It was very odd.
Yeah, I just want to tell casting directors everywhere, like don't just throw any old guy in a Santa costume and cast him as Santa. Like, you should spend some time. If you're making a Christmas movie, Santa needs to look like Santa Claus. There was cringeworthy moments, but there's also swoon-worthy moments. Were there any swoon-worthy moments to you?
I did think the doctor played, like, overall, he was like, and I don't remember this from being a lot of Hallmark movies. Usually there's a strong male lead, and then there's, like, the secondary guy. You had the strong male lead, but, like, you were kind of hoping, wishing that somebody would end up with the very thoughtful, charitable doctor.
I know. The children's doctor.
The children's doctor. Like, you're like, hey, why don't we do a Hallmark movie about what this guy does to raise money for.
Because this small town happens to have a children's hospital in addition to its regular hospital. So
I thought we needed to do something with that. And then also, I don't know if there was. I mean, I will say one of the cute little moments I thought was when she went to get, and this was, it was a throwaway moment, but I thought it was very indicative of how the holidays really are because it evokes your traditions. When they get to that market, that flea market, et cetera, interior design store.
Right.
She notices that there's a pop-up hot cocoa.
Yes.
Booth, and so she gets him to. He for some reason he's the only human being in the world that doesn't like hot cocoa during the holidays. She gets him to have some, and he loves it. And it wasn't like it was some super moment for that, but that's what really is about the holidays. It isn't about the shopping. It's all the little temporal things that pop up that you're like, oh, I remember this guy's cocoa, and it's like it only comes up for whether, you know, we saw it the other day in stores where it's like all the candy now is like, you know,
it's Christmas themed
and you're like that's what makes the magic.
It was like
the
hot cocoa had the candy canes, you know, in the cup, and it made me think of, and I can't wait, you know, at the Rockettes, one of my favorite things is they put the little plastic candy canes in my champagne flute when we're at the show, and I am so looking forward to that. I was thinking about it yesterday, how much I can't wait for my candy cane and my champagne flute. And I could do that at home, a plastic candy cane, to be very clear. I don't want to put peppermint in my champagne. That would be disgusting.
Do you believe them as a couple?
I think that it's a little forced in this movie. I would believe them if there had been a little bit more time. I believe him liking her. I think that if it was real life, she would have chosen the doctor. What do you think? But then there's a swoon-worthy moment where, you know, he surprised her and he had a messenger deliver a gift wrapped package that was the beautiful Nutcracker she had shown him at the store.
Oh my gosh, that was the best. All right, so they were looking at that and then...
Yeah, that's where I really think that they, you know, maybe we have a hard time believing some of it because the premise of having worked with an interior decorator, A, we know you don't really go shopping with your decorator. B, you definitely don't go to a store like that shopping, especially as a billionaire.
Well, and that's all right. So that's the whole struggle.
The whole
throughout
reason why
the movie is that she has to get his opinion.
Yeah.
And
if you're a billionaire, you're not giving your opinion like this. You have people who do it. Like, that's just here's your budget. Here's what I don't like. Just do it.
So I guess our biggest takeaway is we just don't like the interior design aspect.
I think that's what it is.
Of this movie.
But I think the whole reason why they went to that store was literally just to set up this Nutcracker moment, which was one of the most swoon-worthy moments of the movie.
Yes, I would agree with that. I don't know if I see them, like, I don't see them as a complimentary couple to each other down the road. Like, I still think she has some things to work out. I don't know if that hovering dad is going to be great for a long-term relationship. I mean, like, he's definitely going
to
be...
Peter, you've got to stop thinking that way. So here's the number one rule about watching Hallmark movies. You have to suspend reality, and you have to understand that it ends the minute the movie ends.
Okay.
It doesn't go forward. Don't even try to think about if they stay together or anything. If you do, you realize that most of them probably break up in about 6 weeks. The only time you're allowed to think of if they move forward is if they get a sequel.
Are there sequels to these movies?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. This Christmas season, we're going to get Christmas in Evergreen 3. It's a third in an installment.
I do have one other criticism since we're on like the going forward. Wasn't a big fan of the kid, Wyatt Hunt. Like, and I know you're like, wow, you're going to make fun of the kids on the...
It's not making fun of. Like, the kid was supposed to be a five-year-old. He clearly was older than five.
Right, he was like 14.
But then he wasn't like 14. He was like 7 or 8. And then he was like playing way down, which like he was playing dumber than a five-year-old. It didn't look like his mom at all.
Yeah, I just wasn't a big... I guess if I could also say, like, I loved her friend who came in to help, you know, to play that role.
Yes.
I liked that a lot. So, like, when she came in to assist with, all right, how are we going to get all of this done?
Yeah, that was her former intern who is now an interior decorator in her own right and is now going to come over and work with her in the interior decorating
business. That was very
business.
Good.
It was good.
Yeah, I thought that was a good save there. And it explained how, logistically, how she was going to get the gala done and the design done.
Yes. And I think that there was a couple other good moments. Like, another swoon-worthy moment for me was when Abby is decorating the big Christmas tree in the estate and Nick steps away to help her do it. He steps away from his very busy job as a billionaire doing whatever.
Yes.
That he finds the time to help her decorate the tree. And that's kind of part of where you see their chemistry building. So it goes from the Nutcracker to the Christmas tree. And then they have that great moment where they dance to I'll Be Home for Christmas. And I'll Be Home for Christmas is probably one of my very favorite Christmas songs. So I thought that was a really romantic part of the movie. That's probably part of why I believe her so much. Believe them as a couple. I think you're right. I think we have a problem with the premise of her as an interior decorator of this not massive house to this billionaire that he's also running his business out of for a gala. Like, if you're a billionaire, aren't you doing your black tie event at the Vinoy or whatever your equivalent of that hotel
is?
Well,
that's my issue with the gala. It wasn't much of a, it looked like a kind of a nice Friday evening Christmas party.
I know. I was like, I didn't really see very many flower arrangements. I spend more money on florals for a Friday than they spent for that gala.
You don't have it as a category, but I did think it is a great turn. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Letting anybody drop off. The heel turns into the hero. His SVP ends up. And they really do set her up as...
Yeah, everyone thinks she's going to be the villain.
The villain.
She's set up to be, like, secretly in love with him,
right,
who's going to do everything she can to sabotage Abby.
And we think there's going to be a proposal from her to him. Remember?
Yes.
The British guy comes in and says, she talked to him about a proposal. It turns out she ends up proposing to him.
Taking over more of the business responsibilities.
In a good way.
In a good way. Because so clearly his heart is here.
Right.
And he can spend more time with basically Abby.
And that, I will say, that was my favorite part of the movie.
That was pretty swoon-worthy.
I did not see it. I did not see it coming. And so if you get a surprise out of a Hallmark movie, that was I was expecting her to be like cast away, like, hey, why are you being so cranky to the woman that's trying to get everything done for me? Why don't you get the heck out of here? And she would complain, I've been with you for years and given you my life. What am I supposed to do now? And they're like, no, like they turned it around. It kind of goes with the theme of this movie, which is subconsciously female empowerment on like two or three levels. And so I'm okay with how this movie turned out.
Was there any Christmas magic for you?
Sadly, no. There was not that. I mean, other than the normal, like, people get together. There was some snow at the end. There was a proposal that was a little interesting at the end. But
the proposal?
Remember? Not proposal. Where they go out in the gazebo. And
That's when she gets her Christmas snow.
I know.
Was the Christmas magic. That was her one Christmas wish. They both got their Christmas wishes.
I think that was there.
It was weak. Yes, it
there's
was
no
weak.
There's no Santa. There's no elves. There's no reindeer. It is.
But it was beautiful. Hallmark does. So the one thing is, the movie ended with their kiss. And that's Hallmark for you. Most Hallmark movies make you wait till the very last scene for the two love interests to finally kiss each other. Which is also part of why sometimes it's cringeworthy when a woman's going to move.
Ella doesn't like any of the kissing. Do you notice that?
No, like, she says kissing is very gross.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
She doesn't like the kissing in the movie.
She covers her eyes. It's hilarious. But that's why it's not until the very end so you don't lose the kids.
I don't know. It was, I liked that they got together. I didn't understand where the musicians came from. I did like that the dad sets it up and says, hey, listen, if I know my daughter, you're going to have to come up with some sort of grand gesture. And I guess that involved some musicians.
Well, he went and got the musicians.
Yeah, I got it.
It was his big grand gesture. So yeah, Nick comes. Abby had already left the gala to be home in time to put her kid to bed because it's Christmas Eve.
Right.
Because apparently people do galas on Christmas Eve. I would never go to a gala.
She's holding him on like the couch.
Yeah, they're
right?
They're like talking and like watching a show.
Kids have to get to bed on Christmas.
But
and
that was like one of my complaints was like, why are you in your pajamas? So like the big final big moment, she's in pajamas and he's in a tux. It kind of felt a little flat for me. But the Christmas snow and the Christmas tree and the musicians playing I'll Be Home for Christmas really did kind of give it that Hallmark feel.
All right. Here's our final category. You're going to be doing this each week.
Each week we'll be rating the Christmas movies. We have a really, really high tech system. We're going to rate them on. We're going to give them crowns. So it's the 5 crown rating system. So from a scale of 1 to 5 crowns, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best. How many crowns do you give this movie, babe?
I'm going to give it a solid 2.5 crowns. I thought that Jill Wagner is clearly a star. I really liked the supporting cast of the dad, the assistant, the British gala host.
The event planner. He's an event planner.
Event planner. Whatever he's doing. I liked the SVP. I thought that turned out to be a very credible, interesting character. No, there wasn't any Christmas magic, but I don't think I can judge movies based on whether or not I can't give somebody an extra half crown just because there's magic or something like that. I thought that the plot it made sense, even though it wasn't 100% the most engaging or dramatic one that you've ever had before. I wish the production value was a little higher, but in the scope of it being an October movie and building up to what I'm expecting from the rest. So I think this is a perfect movie to set the bar. It was neither superlative, but it wasn't like I wouldn't not leave this on in the background as we're stringing popcorn onto the Christmas tree.
I mean, when have we ever strung popcorn onto the Christmas tree? You're so ridiculous. We are not a Hallmark movie. I would rate this 3 crowns, partially on the strength of Jill Wagner. She is one of my favorite Hallmark stars. I always look forward to her movies, so I can't give her less than 3 crowns. But really, for me, you know, there's nothing I hate about the movie, and it's perfect background while I'm wrapping Christmas presents, which is actually largely what I look for in a Hallmark Christmas movie. So I'm going to give it a solid 3 crowns.
All right. So I get to ask this as your co-producer on our, how are you going to end the show? Are you going to, crowns, or are you going to be like,
I know. I think, do we end with the crowns? Where do we go from there?
What's the plan going forward? Cause you're, I can't,
we can't knock them all out.
You can't do it. I'll go crazy. Cause it, like, the gap is going to be, you're going to be full-time podcaster during the holidays.
Thanksgiving week, there's a new movie every single day.
Okay, you can't do it. As your partner in crime, I'm begging you not to do a podcast every day. So
We'll see what we'll do. There might be days where I binge a few. Sometimes I'll have guests. Sometimes it might just be me standalone. I'm going to, like, tweak this format some. This is our first time running it through and seeing what we want to do.
It's a great first episode. You got a lot of content here.
A lot of content. It's just trying to figure out what we're going to do.
Am I doing good as, like, the Bill Simmons?
You're good. Yeah. I mean, I might make you pop into more of these.
As I'm sitting here, I'm not going to not let you let me pop into these things.
Right, because it's so much fun.
I know
fun.
This is your podcast, and this was your idea, and I love every part of it, but it's like...
And by the way, the one thing I am going to add is every podcast, I'm going to have a Christmas cookie of the episode, and we'll share our Christmas cookie.
That is something to look forward to. Thank you for letting me
because Christmas cookies are important to us. That was the first Christmas present I ever gave you, was a bunch of different homemade Christmas cookies.
Yes, it was.
So I just feel like encouraging. Hallmark Christmas movies are all about traditions. Our family's all about traditions. So it's kind of fun to share. Baking Christmas cookies is a favorite tradition of ours. So I think sharing a Christmas cookie, I would say of the week, but that's really not it because it's really of the day, will be part of the fun. So thank you guys for joining us for the first episode. We hope you will join us again and find some Christmas magic on the Hallmark Channel.